Okay, Angelique Grantham.
Hi.
Is in the studio as early, a little bit early, so that we can talk to you before we do this special show of yours.
Yay.
Yay. So first we'll talk to you about who you are and what you do and where you came up with in concert memories before we go into something historical.
Okay. Well, I'm Angelique Grantham. What I do is history and other things in Kodiak. I'm the curator at the Baranoff Museum, the curator of collections and exhibits. And I wasn't really anticipating talking about concert memories when I came here this morning, but I have plenty. And I elected to not do a really brutal transition from that nice, smooth listening to what is still my favorite concert experience of my life, which was when I was 17. It was just the day after I graduated from high school. I'm piled into the minivan in Northern Washington, the town of Laconer, where I was living, and we drove to the Gorge for Nine Inch Nails, baby. So, NIN playing at the Gorge in the year 2000, an incredible light show. They were my favorite band at the time. And oh boy, that was lots and lots and lots of fun. But anyways, because I thought that transition would be quite cruel, I elected to go for other music, which is a bit more fitting. And also a very happy concert memory, and that would be seeing B.B. King and Etta James at Edgefield in Oregon. This was about, 7, 8 years ago. And what a performer.
Which one?
Both of them, but B.B. King particularly. It was by the end of the night, you know, he would just play and tell stories and play. And he established this sense of intimacy with the audience that by the end of the night, it seemed like he was just an old friend playing music on your couch. You
nice.
Know, it was this exchange in which not only did you feel like you knew him at the end, but that somehow he had a sense of who you were, too. So
how big was the house?
Big. I mean, thousands of people in the amphitheater.
Hmm.
But still, it was I don't know, he just created this sense of closeness through his stories and his music. And it was just really, really wonderful.
Well, give me a little backstory here, though. You grew up in Kodiak, did you not?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So were you subjected to music when you were a kid? I mean, there's not a whole lot of music back in the day, in the early 80s, 90s, in Kodiak. I mean, once in a while, somebody would come in, but...
No.
So you're listening to most of your stuff on the radio.
Yeah, and CDs, of course. I really liked punk rock when I was in high school. I think a lot of kids in Kodiak were really into punk. They probably still are.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't remember going to any concerts except for once or twice at the Armory in town. So when I moved to Washington in high school, it was... It's funny because I moved to Northern Washington just an hour outside of Seattle, and I felt as if I'd missed grunge. But now when we look back, it's almost considered to be like the tail end of grunge, you know? It wasn't like the heyday of Pearl Jam, but they were still around and playing.
Right.
But I went and I saw like Hole, and I saw Bush, and I saw all of those 90s kind of grunge rock bands a bit after the peak of grunge. But now when we look back at it, we kind of think of it as like the same era. You know,
so,
I felt like I was too late, but it ends up that I wasn't.
There's tons of music in Washington, Northern Washington. So you're going into Seattle for concerts when you're in high school?
Yep.
Okay, and you're a little punk rock and grunge head.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I've heard about the Gorge, but I've never been to the Gorge.
Oh.
So can you describe that for me of what kind of place that is? I don't really have a good visual of it, but so many people say that's one of the coolest places to go see a show.
It is, yeah. It's the Gorge in George. It's in George, Washington, and it's pretty much in the middle of nowhere in the desert along the Columbia River, and it's a natural amphitheater. And there's camping nearby, lots of ample camping opportunities, so a lot of people go out there and camp before or after the show. And it's just expansive rock, little scruffy plants, but beautiful high desert feel to it, and just the cleanest sound. Really, really remarkable sound. And to be watching shows there and looking out over the desert is just a great setting.
Oh, there's no water?
Well, there's, I guess, the river's
is there a river?
Nearby. Yeah. I don't know. I'm having
a hard time
beckoning
it to my imagination. I got this visual of concert people jumping in a river.
No.
No. No frolicking.
No. Mm-mm.
So Pearl Jam is like, Nine Inch Nails is the closing act for the evening? Is that like how you got a bunch of opening acts and they're the big deal that's the nighttime show?
Yeah, but I don't remember right now who else played. That's the whole reason that I went. But yeah, it was super good. It was still, 2000, and they had these huge screens displaying this light show and these strange film clips. And technologically, it was really advanced for that time. And it was my friend's mom that drove us, the lucky lady. In the minivan, and she's been going to rock concerts her whole life. She went to Woodstock even.
Really?
And she said that it was one of the best performances she'd ever seen even. So it was exceptional.
So now jumping to B.B. King and Etta James, that's kind of an eclectic jump for a young kid. Was it because of something your parents listened to, or was it? I mean, I don't remember being 17 years old and thinking B.B. King was cool and that's a concert I'd want to go to.
Well, at this point, I'm in my mid-20s, and who doesn't love the blues?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, so, when you have the opportunity to see a legend, you go. So, legends, I should say, with Etta James. So, yep, we went. I went with some friends and set up on the grass at Edgefield, McMiniman's property in Troutdale, Oregon. I'm sure that some of the listeners out there have been. It is in itself an incredible destination.
What? Tell me about it. I don't know anything about it.
So McMiniman's, they call themselves an empire in Washington and Oregon. And what they do is they purchase old properties and restore them and turn them into brew pubs and restaurants and event centers. And they really do a lot of research into the history of the site and hire local artists to create site-specific artwork. And so each property is super unique, but Edgefield is the best. It's like adult Disneyland. There's a distillery, a winery, a brewery, a pool hall, an amphitheater, a mini golf course, a spa, a soaking pool, a glass-blowing studio, many restaurants. There's little bars spread throughout the property, and it's a hotel as well. Oh. And so it's a super fun place to go. It's really affordable, too.
And what's the name of the town?
It's out in Troutdale.
Troutdale,
yeah,
Oregon.
Which is east of Portland by like 30, 40 minutes or something. Not that far when you're used to driving in the city, but as soon as you move to a place like Kodiak and you have to drive from Portland to Troutdale, it's like, 40 minutes? Are you kidding me?
People give me that for living in Bell's Flat.
Oh, you know? Yeah,
it's
I know.
Like, really? We want to live way up there.
It's true. But Edgefield is a great place. They have concerts all summer at the amphitheater there. And then pretty much every night of the week, they have smaller live shows in one of the bars out there. But, yep, B.B. King was just a really touching experience just to see the living legend, but then also to see his manner of performing, where it was just that intimacy that was established.
Well, we don't have a recording from that, but somehow in our library I found a 1971 recording from Japan, B.B. King live with. Did he play this song at the probably?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Probably couldn't get by without playing it.
Three.
Yeah, BB, he just kept on playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is making me wish I had a time machine.
Me too, because it makes me think of fun times in the past, and it makes me think of fun travels in the past. So I was just thinking, you know, when I ask people what are their favorite concert experiences, of course, I always have my running list in my head, but then I momentarily blanked it out like this morning when I needed it most. But then I just remembered, Inti Easy Mani. Repeat after me.
Inti Easy Mani.
You got it. Inti Easy Mani. Inti Easy Mani is a Chilean folk group, and they are kind of like the Grateful Dead of Chile, I'd say. And they've been around since the 60s. However, 1972 was the beginning of the Pinochet regime. And they were radicals, like many people in Chile at the time, who supported Salvador Allende, the socialist president. And Pinochet overthrew Allende in a violent military coup. At that time, Allende supporters were rounded up, tortured, and killed, including many musicians. So Inti Easy Mani went into hiding and exile. And so they continued to fight for Chilean freedom from the military regime for decades abroad. But now, of course, it's been many years since Pinochet has been out of power. And so I lived in Valdivia, Chile, back in 2003, I think it was. I went to school down there. And Valdivia, Chile is pretty much like Kodiak, but on the other side of the world. It's black sand beaches, totally, totally rainy. There's Araucana trees and really big and like huge, massive ferns. So the plant life is a bit distinct, but the lay of the land is so similar to Alaska. It's also a big fishing port, and you're likely to find beer bottles in the beach, on the beach at any hour of day or night. It just reminds me of Kodiak, very much so. But while I was there, I got to know Inti Easy Mani, and they just happened to be on tour.
You got to know them personally?
Well,
or know their music. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And so I went with my friends to this Inti Easy Mani show in Valdivia, and it was fabulous. They play a lot of Andean instruments, like all of the like cool flutes, you know, and it was amazing. They were all so fluent in all of the instruments from song to song. They would just change instruments. You know, they just trade them from like one guy going from playing this complicated mouth harp thing to playing a mandolin to playing one of these big flutes. Everyone was just so skilled in each of the instruments. And it was just super fun, considering I was there, immersed in Chilean lifestyle, and then got to see what was my favorite Chilean band.
So you're saying they're like the dead because people travel around and follow them, or because people are dancing in the aisles? What?
Well, kind of like they have this, in a way, kind of like revolutionary counterculture message going for them, and they have the kind of tenure, you know, like the dead. Decades and decades and decades they were producing music and touring, and Inti Easy Mani's like that, in which they've been around for well over 40 years now.
So do they have a regular sit-down house like we have in America, or do you have like, are people standing, there's seats?
We were in like a arena type of thing. It's like the same place where they would have the rodeo. So it was just a like bench seats. There was a stage set up, and then where they would have the horses during the rodeo time, there was floor set down for people to sit and to dance. Most of the people didn't dance though. Chileans are kind of mellow like that. But I danced.
I can imagine. All right. So do you know anything about this song that we're going to play?
Well, it's, Negra Presentuosa. It's a good one.
Okay. For those of you who have never heard this, think of yourself back in 2003 in the rodeo barn in Chile.
Yep.
Thank you. Algo de mí se ha perdido entre tu casa y mi casa. Será el calor que no abraza, no es de gozo, no es de ira, como tampoco es mentira que algo de ti se ha escondido entre tu talla y mi alma. Será tal vez la esperanza o el cariño adormecido. Yo sabré reír, yo sabré llorar, yo sabré entregarte mi cariño. Negra, negra que te quiero gozar, negra presuntuosa, mira que me estoy muriendo, dame vida de tu boca a boca, que me está pisando los talones de la libertad. O el cariño adormecido. Yo sabré reír, yo sabré llorar, yo sabré entregarte mi cariño. Negra, negra que te quiero gozar, negra presuntuosa, mira que me estoy muriendo, dame vida de tu boca a boca, que me está pisando los talones de la libertad. Negra, negra que te quiero gozar, negra presuntuosa, mira que me estoy muriendo, dame vida de tu boca, de tu vida, de tu boca. Negra, negra, negra que te quiero, que te adoro, que te quiero. Negra, mira que me estoy muriendo, dame vida de tu boca, de tu vida, de tu boca. Negra, negra, negra que te quiero, que te adoro, que te quiero. Negra, mira que me estoy muriendo, dame vida de tu boca, de tu vida, de tu boca. Negra, negra, negra que te quiero, que te adoro.
I love the way music has an ability to just transport you to another place.
I know.
You know, you just put that kind of thing on, and all of a sudden we're not sitting here in a 45-degree, kind of rainy, overcast day. I can see people with colors and sunshine and black beaches and vacations.
It's true.
That's the ability of public radio, I guess.
It is.
That's what it does.
It is. And because, as listeners, you like to be transported elsewhere through the music that you enjoy and the stories that you listen to, I highly encourage you to take this as the moment to pick up the phone and make a pledge to KMXT.